Hello?
What number, please?
Operator, connect me with the... Wait a minute. Is someone else on the line?
What number, ma'am?
I heard something. Someone is breathing into the phone, I tell ya.
Quite possible, ma'am. This is a party line, you know.
Well, you must know if someone else is on the line.
Let me check, ma'am.
Agnes, is that you?
Ben, what are you doing on the phone?
I just picked up the phone to call my mother. You know I call her every night at 8 p.m. sharp.
Is it that late already? Oh, dear, I was just trying to call O'Grady's Pharmacy for some nerve pills. I'm awfully nervous tonight. And Halloween of all nights.
Yep, Halloween. The only night where the dead and the living come
together. Hello? Who's there? Who's calling me?
Mrs. Ferrioli, no one's calling you.
I heard my ring. Two longs and a short. Or was it two shorts and a long? I don't hear so good.
No one rang your phone that I'm aware of.
Who is this?
Ben Carter, your neighbor, Mrs. Ferrioli.
Why, Mrs. Ferrioli?
That's what I said. I was just trying...
Well, what do you want?
I didn't call you.
Hey, what's that?
I didn't call you.
Then who did?
Will you please all hang up? I need to phone the pharmacy before it closes. Free up the wire.
You need to fan the fricassee? You say your clothes are on fire?
No, no.
Hello, hello. Say, I hate to break up the hen party, but can a fella call his best girl on Halloween night to wish her a happy Halloween?
Well, who's that?
It's me, Ned, over on Mason Street.
Ted?
No, Ned.
Well, you'd better call the fire department, Ted. Someone's on fire.
But I'm Ned.
Hey, Ned, how's school?
Uncle Ben.
How's college treating you, boy?
This is the operator, ma'am. Are you still there?
Yes, operator.
There's no one else on the line.
What do you mean there's no one else on the line? Listen to all these people. You'd think there was a regular party going on. And I need my pills before they close the pharmacy.
I guess that's why they call it a party line. If you'd like to upgrade to our single private line option, I can connect you to our sales representative.
No, no, never mind. Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Ned.
Goodbye, Uncle Ben. Goodbye, Mrs. Ferrioli.
Goodbye, whoever you are. Is that you, Ernest? Did you ring me up from beyond the grave? I can hear you breathing. Two longs and a short. Two longs and a short.
Welcome to Tales with a Twist, our special Halloween edition of radio drama that brings you several stories guaranteed to make you squirm in your seats. Tonight we begin with one of the most popular of all radio dramas from the series Suspense, a study in terror by Lucille Fletcher called Sorry, Wrong Number. This is the story of a woman who accidentally overhears a conversation in a phone call not meant for her. Listen as she strives frantically to prevent murder from claiming an innocent victim. You will be intrigued, unnerved, and until the very end, we promise you will be kept in suspense.
Oh, dear.
Your call, please.
Operator, I've been dialing Murray Hill 70093 now for the last 3/4 of an hour, and the line is always busy. I don't see how it could be busy that long. Will you try it for me, please?
I'll be glad to try that number for you. One moment, please.
I don't see how it could be busy all this time. It's my husband's office. He's working late tonight, and I'm all alone here in the house. My health is very poor, and I've been feeling so nervous all day.
Ringing Murray Hill 70093.
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Is Mr. Stevenson there?
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Hello, George?
Yes, sir. This is George speaking.
Hello. Who's this? What number am I calling, please?
I'm here with our client.
Oh, good. Is everything okay? Is the coast clear for tonight?
Yes, George. He said the coast is clear for tonight.
Okay, okay.
Where are you now?
In a phone booth. Don't worry. Everything's okay.
Well, very well. Do you know the address?
Yeah, I know. At 11 o'clock, the private patrolman goes around to the bar on 2nd Avenue for a beer.
That's right, at 11 o'clock.
I'll make sure that all the lights downstairs are out.
Well, there should only be one light visible from the street.
Yeah, I know. At 11:15, a train crosses the bridge. It makes a noise in case her window's open, and she should scream.
Oh, hello. What number is this, please?
Yeah, you remember everything else, George?
Yeah, I make it quick, as little blood as possible, because our client does not wish to make her suffer long.
That's right. You'll use a knife.
Yeah, a knife will be okay, and afterwards I remove the rings and the bracelets and the jewelry in the bureau drawer, because our client wishes it to look like simple robbery. Don't worry, everything's okay. I never make...
Oh, how awful. How unspeakably awful. Oh, look at the operator.
Your call, please.
Operator, I've just been cut off.
I'm sorry. What number were you calling?
Why, it was supposed to be Murray Hill 70093, but it wasn't. Some wires must have crossed. I was cut into a wrong number, and I've just heard the most dreadful thing. Something about a murder. And operator, well, you simply have to retrace that call at once.
I beg your pardon. May I help you?
Oh, I know it was a wrong number, and I had no business listening, but these two men, they were cold-blooded fiends, and they were going to murder somebody, some poor innocent woman who was all alone in a house near a bridge, and we've got to stop them. We've got to...
Oh, what number were you calling, please?
Well, that doesn't matter. This was a wrong number, and you dialed it for me, and we've got to find out what it was immediately.
What number did you call?
Oh, why are you so stupid? What time is it? Oh, do you mean to tell me you can't find out what that number was just now?
I'll connect you with the chief operator.
Oh, I think it's perfectly shameful. Now, look, it was obviously a case of some little slip of the finger. I told you to try Murray Hill 70093 for me. You dialed it, but your finger must have slipped, and I was connected with some other number, and I could hear them, but they couldn't hear me. Now, I simply fail to see why you couldn't make that same mistake again on purpose. Why you couldn't try to dial Murray Hill 70093 in that same sort of careless way.
Murray Hill 70093?
Yes.
I'll try to get it for you.
Well, thank you.
I'm sorry. Murray Hill 70093 is busy. I'll call you in 20 minutes.
Operator!
Your call, please.
Well, you didn't try to get that wrong number at all. I asked you explicitly, and all you did was dial correctly.
I'm sorry. What number are you calling?
Well, can't you for once forget what number I'm calling and do something for me? Now, I want to trace that call. It's your civic duty to trace that call and to apprehend those dangerous killers, and if you won't...
I'll connect you with the chief operator.
Please. Oh, dear.
This is the chief operator.
Oh, chief operator, I want you to trace a call, a telephone call, immediately. I don't know where it came from or who was making it, but it's absolutely necessary that it be tracked down because it was about a murder that someone's planning, a terrible cold-blooded murder of a poor innocent woman tonight at 11:15.
I see.
Well, can you trace it for me? Can you track down those men?
I'm not certain. It depends.
What depends on
what? It depends on whether the call is still going on. If it's a live call, we can trace it on the equipment. If it's been disconnected, we can't.
We're disconnected?
If the parties have stopped talking to each other.
Oh, but of course they must have stopped talking to each other by now. That was at least 5 minutes ago. And they didn't sound like the type who would make a long call.
Well, I can try tracing it. May I have your name, please?
Stevenson. Mrs. Albert Stevenson.
And your telephone number, please?
Plaza 42295. But if you go on wasting all this time...
Why do you want to trace this call, please?
Well, I no reason. I mean, I merely feel very strongly that something ought to be done about it. These men sounded like killers. They're dangerous. They're going to murder this woman at 11:15 tonight. And I thought the police ought to know.
Have you reported this to the police?
Well, no, not yet.
You want this call checked purely as a private individual?
Yes, yes, but meanwhile...
I'm sorry, Mrs. Stevenson, but I'm afraid we couldn't make this check for you and trace the call on your safe. So as a private individual, we'll have to have something more official.
Oh, for heaven's sake. You mean to tell me I can't report that there's going to be a murder without getting tied up in all this red tape? Why, it's perfectly idiotic. Well... All right, I'll call the police.
Thank you. I'm sure that would be the best way to...
Ridiculous. Perfectly ridiculous. The thought of it. I can't see why I have to go to all this trouble. Oh.
You call, please?
The police department. Get me the police department, please.
Thank you.
Oh, dear. Do you have to dial? Can't you ring them direct?
Ringing the police department.
It's taking so long.
Police department. Precinct 43, Sergeant Martin speaking.
Police Department. This is Mrs. Stevenson. Mrs. Albert Smythe Stevenson of 53 North Sutton Place. I'm calling up to report a murder. Well, the murder hasn't been committed yet, but I just overheard plans for it over the telephone, over a wrong number that the operator gave me. I've been trying to trace the call myself, but everybody is so stupid. And I guess in the end, you're the only people who can do anything.
Yes, ma'am.
It was a perfectly definite murder. I heard their plans distinctly. Two men were talking, and they were going to murder some woman at 11:15 tonight. She lives in a house near a bridge. Are you listening to me?
Yes, yes, ma'am.
They said there was a private patrolman on the street. He was going to go round for a beer on 2nd Avenue. And there was some third man, a client, who was paying to have this poor woman murdered. They were going to take her rings and bracelets and use a knife. Well, it's unnerved me dreadfully, and I'm not well, and I feel so nervous.
I see. When was all this, ma'am?
About 8 minutes ago. Then you can do something.
What is your name, ma'am?
Mrs. Stevenson. Mrs. Albert Stevenson.
And your address?
53 North Sutton Place. 53 North Sutton Place. That's near the Queensboro Bridge, you know, and we have a private patrolman on our street and 2nd Avenue.
And what was that number you were calling?
Murray Hill 70093. But that wasn't the number I overheard. I mean, Murray Hill 70093 is my husband's office. He's working late tonight, and I was trying to reach him to ask him to come home. I'm an invalid, you know, and it's the nades might off, and I hate to be alone, even though he says I'm perfectly safe as long as I have the telephone right beside my bed.
Well, we'll look into it, Mrs. Stevenson, and see if we can check it with the telephone company.
But the telephone company said they couldn't check the call if the parties had stopped talking. I've already taken care of that.
Oh, you have?
Yes, and personally, I feel you ought to do something far more immediate and drastic than just check the call. What good does checking the call do if they stop talking? By the time you've tracked it down, they'll have already committed the murder.
Huh. Well, then there's nothing for you to worry about. Now, if you'll just leave the rest of us, we'll take care of it.
Well, I'd say the whole thing calls for a search, a complete and thorough search of the whole city. Now, I'm very near the bridge, and I'm not far from 2nd Avenue, and I know I'd feel a whole lot better if you sent round a radio car to this neighborhood at once.
Well, we'll take care of it, lady.
But, I know, but 2nd Avenue and the patrolman and the
bridge. 2nd Avenue is a very long street, ma'am, and you know how many bridges there are in the city of New York alone?
Yes, I know.
Not to mention Brooklyn, Staten Island, Queens, and the Bronx.
I know that.
How do you know that there isn't some little house on Staten Island on some little 2nd Avenue you've never even heard about? How do you know that you've been talking about New York at all?
But I heard the call on the New York dialing system.
Maybe it was a long-distance call you overheard.
Oh, don't tell me that
about... Oh, telephone's a funny thing. Look, lady, why don't you look at it this way? Supposing you hadn't broken in on that telephone call, supposing you had gotten your husband the way you always do, you wouldn't be so upset, would you?
Well, I suppose not. Only it sounded so inhuman, so cold-blooded.
A lot of murders are plotted in this city every day, ma'am. We manage to prevent most all of them.
But
a clue of this kind is so vague, it isn't much more use to us than no clue at all.
But surely.
Unless,
you
of course, you have some reason for thinking this call was phony. That someone was planning a murder for you.
Me? Oh, no, no, I hardly think so. I mean, why should anybody? I'm alone all day and night. I see nobody except my maid, Eloise, and, well, she's a big girl. She weighs 200 pounds. She's just too lazy to bring up my breakfast tray, and, well, the only other person is my husband, Albert. He's crazy about me. He just adores me. He waits on me hand and foot. He's scarcely left my side since I took sick, 12 years ago.
Well, then there's nothing for you to worry about. Now, if you'll just leave the rest to us, we'll take care of it.
But what will you do? It's so late. It's nearly 11 now.
We'll take care of it, lady.
Well, will you broadcast it all over the city and send out squads and warn your radio cars to watch out, especially in suspicious neighborhoods like mine?
Lady, I said we'd take care of it. Now, just, I got a couple of other matters here on my desk that require immediate attention. Good night, ma'am, and thank you.
Oh, idiot! Oh, now why did I ring up the phone like that? He'll think I am a fool. Oh, why doesn't Albert come home? Why doesn't he? Why doesn't he come home?
Your call, please.
Operator, for heaven's sake, will you ring that Murray Hill 70093 number again? I can't think what's keeping him so long.
I'll try it for you.
Well, try. Oh, I don't see why he doesn't answer.
I'm sorry. Murray Hill 70093 is busy.
I can hear it. You don't have to tell me. I know it's busy. Oh, if I can only get out of this bed for a little while. If I could just get a breath of fresh air, lean out the window and see the street. Hello, Albert? Hello? 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 Oh, what's the matter with this phone? Hello? 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 Oh, for heaven's sake, who is this? Hello? 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 Oh, who's trying to call me? Oh. Why doesn't she answer? Where's that operator?
Your call, please.
Hello, operator. I don't know what's the matter with this telephone tonight, but it's positively driving me crazy. I've never seen such inefficient, miserable service. Now look, I'm an invalid, and I'm very nervous, and I'm not supposed to be annoyed, but if this keeps on much longer...
What seems to be the trouble, please?
Well, everything's wrong. I haven't had one bit of satisfaction out of one call I've made this evening. The whole world could be murdered for all you people care. And now my phone keeps ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing every 5 seconds, and when I pick it up, there's no one there.
I'm sorry. If you'll hang up, I'll test it for you.
I don't want you to test it for me. I want you to put that call through, whatever it is, at once.
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I cannot do that.
You can't? And why? Why, may I ask?
The dial system is automatic.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
If someone is trying to dial your number, there's no way to check if the call is coming through the system or not, unless the person who's trying to reach you complains to his particular operator.
Well, of all the stupid... And meanwhile, I've got to sit here in my bed, suffering every time that phone rings, imagining everything.
I'll try to check the trouble for you.
Check it? Check it? That's all anybody can do. Oh, what's the use of talking to you? You're so stupid. I'll fix her. Of all the impudent... How dare she speak to me like that? How dare she? Oh, why does it take so long?
Your call, please.
Young woman, I don't know your name, but there are ways of finding you out. And I'm going to report you to your superiors for the most unpardonable rudeness and insolence it's ever been my privilege. Give me the business office at once.
You may dial that number direct.
Dial it direct? I'll do no such thing. I don't even know the number.
The number is in the directory, or you may secure it by dialing information.
Listen here, you. Oh, what's the use? Oh, dear. Oh, for heaven's sake, I'm going out of my mind, out of my... Hello? Hello? Stop ringing me, do you hear? Answer me. Who is this? Do you realize you're driving me crazy? Who's calling me? What are you doing it for? Now stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Hello? Hello? If you don't stop ringing me, I'm going to call the police. Do you hear? The police! Oh, if only Albert would come home. Oh, let it ring. Let it go on ringing. It's a trick of some kind. I won't answer it. I won't. I won't. I won't. Even if it goes on ringing all night. Oh, you ring. Just go ahead and ring. Stopped. Now, what's the matter? Why did they stop ringing all of a sudden? Oh, what time is it? Where did I put that clock? Oh, here it is. 5 to 11. Oh, they've decided something. They're sure I'm home. They heard my voice answer them just now. That's why they've been ringing me. Why, no one has answered me. Oh, I'll call the operator again. Oh, where is she? Why doesn't she answer? Why doesn't she answer?
Your call, please.
Where were you just now? Why didn't you answer at once? Give me the police department.
I'm sorry, the line is busy. I will call you back.
Busy? But that's impossible. The police department can't be busy. There must be other lines available.
The line is busy. I will try to get them for you later.
No, I've got to speak to them now, or it may be too late. I've got to talk to someone.
What number do you wish to speak to?
Well, I don't know, but there must be someone to protect people besides the police department, a detective agency.
You'll find agencies listed in the classified directory.
But I don't have a classified. I mean, I'm too nervous to look it up, and I don't know how to use...
I'll connect you with information. Perhaps she'll be able to help you.
No. Oh, you're being spiteful, aren't you? You don't care, do you? What happens to me? I could die and you wouldn't care. Oh, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. I can't stand anymore. Hello? What do you want? Stop ringing, will you? Stop it.
Hello, is this Plaza 42295?
Yes, I'm sorry. This is Plaza 42295.
This is Western Union. I have a telegram from Mrs. Albert Stevenson. Is there anyone there to receive the message?
I'm Mrs. Stevenson.
The telegram is as follows. Mrs. Albert Stevenson, 53 North Sutton Place, New York, New York. Darling, terribly sorry. Tried to get you for last half hour, but line busy. Leaving for Boston at 11 p.m. tonight on urgent business.
No.
Back tomorrow afternoon.
Oh,
keep
no.
happy. Love, signed, Albert.
No.
Do you wish us to deliver a copy of the message?
No, thank you.
Thank you, madam. Good night.
Good night. Oh, no. No, I don't believe it. He couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. Not when he knows I'll be all alone. It's some trick, some fiendish trick. Oh, it's some trick. Oh, why doesn't she? Why doesn't she answer?
Your call, please.
Operator, try that Murray Hill 70093 number for me just once more, please.
You may dial that number direct.
Oh. Oh, 70093. Oh, he's gone. He's gone. Oh, Albert, how could you? How could you? Oh, how could you? I can't be alone tonight. I can't. If I'm alone one more second, I'll go mad. Oh, I don't care what he says or what the expense is. I'm a sick woman. I'm entitled. I'm entitled. Oh, get hold of her.
Oh. Information, may I help you?
Well, I want the telephone number of Henschley Hospital.
Henschley Hospital? Do you have the street address?
No, it's somewhere in the 70s. It's a very small, private, and exclusive hospital where I had my appendix out 2 years ago. Henschley. H-E-N...
One moment, please.
Oh, please hurry. And please, what is the time?
You may find out the time by dialing Meridian 71212.
Oh, for heaven's sake, I've no time to be dialing.
The number of Henschley Hospital is Butterfield 70105.
Butterfield 70105. 05.
Oh. Henschley Hospital, good evening.
Nurses Registry.
Who was it you wish to speak to, please?
I want the Nurses Registry at once. I want a trained nurse. I want to hire her immediately for the night.
I see. And what is the nature of the case, madam?
Nerves. I'm very nervous. I need help. Some assistance. You see, my husband is away.
Have you been recommended to us by any doctor in particular, madam?
No, but I really don't see why all this catechizing is necessary. I just want a trained nurse. I was a patient in your hospital 2 years ago, and after all, I do expect to pay this person for attending me.
We quite understand that, madam, but these are war times, you know.
Well, but...
Registered nurses are very scarce just now, and our superintendent has asked us to send people out only on cases where the physician in charge feels that it's absolutely necessary.
Well, it is absolutely necessary. I'm a sick woman. I'm very upset. Very. I'm alone in this house, and I'm an invalid, and tonight I overheard a telephone conversation that upset me most dreadfully. In fact, if someone doesn't come at once, I'm afraid I'll go out of my mind.
I see. Well, I'll speak to Miss Phillips as soon as she comes in. And what is your name, madam?
Miss Phillips? When do you expect her in?
Well, I really couldn't say. She went out to supper at 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock? But it's not 11 yet. Oh, my clock has stopped. I thought it was running down. What time is it?
Just 15 minutes past 11.
What was that?
What was what, madam?
That click just now in my own telephone, as though someone had lifted the receiver off the hook of the extension downstairs.
Well, I didn't hear it, madam. Now, about this nurse...
But I did! There's someone in this house. Someone downstairs in the kitchen. And they're listening to me now. They're... Oh, I won't pick it up. I won't let them hear me. I'll be quiet and they'll think, oh, but if I don't call someone now while they're still down there, there'll be no time. Oh, I've got to find someone. Help.
You call, please.
Oh, operator, I'm in a desperate trouble.
I'm sorry. I cannot hear you. Please speak louder.
Oh, I don't dare. There's someone listening. Can you hear me now?
I'm sorry.
Oh, but you've got to hear me. Oh, please, you've got to help me. There's someone in this house, someone who's going to murder me, and you've got to get in touch with... Oh, there it is. There it is. Did you hear it? He's put it down. He's put down the extension phone. Oh, he's coming up. He's coming up the stairs. Give me the police department. The police department. Police department. Give it to me, please. Oh,
one
I can
moment,
hear him
please.
Now.
I'll
he's
connect
near.
You.
Oh, I hear him. I hear him. Hurry. Hurry. Hurry.
Police department. Sergeant Martin speaking. Police department. Police Department, Sergeant Martin speaking. Police Department?
Police Department? Oh, I'm sorry. Must have got the wrong number. Don't worry. Everything's okay.
And so closes Sorry, Wrong Number in tonight's tale of suspense.
Look guess it is, and on Halloween, too. The witching hour, and my potion is just about ready. Oh, of all the times for interruption. Hello? Is anybody there? Speak up. I'm hard of hearing.
Anna.
I say, who's there? Who rang my line?
Can you hear it, Annabelle? Annabelle Lee, hear the beating of my heart?
Ernest?
It's Edgar.
Oh, I don't know an Edgar. Aren't you my dead husband, Ernest?
Ernest is here, but my name is Edgar. We're all on the other side now.
All? Who do you mean by all?
You are a practitioner of the black arts. Are you not a witch, if it be known?
And what if I am? And I don't want it to be known. Whoever you are, this is a party line. People might hear.
You called us forth with your sorcery and your spells. Oh, you are a clever woman. How you managed to trap our spirits in the telephone wire, I'll never know. The blame thing wasn't even invented when I died. But never mind that.
So my conjuring was a success. I owe it all to Halloween and the blood-red moon that hangs over the city.
Did someone say blood?
Who's that? What spirits are phoning me from the land of the dead?
That was my gentleman friend from Transylvania. Pleased to meet you. Technically, I'm not dead.
You're not?
No, I'm undead. But who's checking?
I'm dead, all right. Stiff as a dead parrot. Blackbeard's the name, mate. Fiercest pirate to ever plunder the high seas.
Oh, Blackbeard, such an honor.
Greetings. My master couldn't be here, so he sent me, Igor. I always do what the good doctor wants.
Well, that's all very well, but what about my husband, Ernest? Is he there?
Yes, my dear, I'm here. How touching that you asked for me now when you had no use for me while I was alive.
Well, I just wanted to make sure you really made it to the other side. Sometimes at night, I almost think I hear your heart beating, but that's impossible. There was enough arsenic in that cake to kill 3 big men. Let alone a withered old bag of bones like you.
Oh, Mary, Mary, you'll never get away with it, never.
I will, and I did. Just you go back to your hole in the ground, old man, and leave me to live my life.
Oh! Do you hear it now, Annabelle? Some things that you think are dead are really not, especially on Halloween night.
My name is not Annabelle, Mr. Edgar, whoever you are. Lucky for you that I'm practically deaf as a post. If there's a beating heart on the line, I can't hear it, and it sure as Jiminy doesn't belong to Ernest. Goodbye.
I could hear it. Low, dull, quick sound. The sound a watch makes when covered with cotton. I knew that sound, and it beat me into a rage, like a drum beating a soldier to courage. And it grew louder and faster, louder and faster, louder, louder, louder. It was the beating of his hideous heart.
Mystery in the air, where our star shares with us the excitement of the great stories of the strange and unusual. Of the dark and compelling collection called From the Four Corners of the World of Literature, It's Mystery in the Air. In the dim reaches of the early 19th century, a dark genius spoke darkly in the language of literature, of things and shapes horrid encountered in the labyrinthian ways of the soul. Generations who read Edgar Allan Poe wondered as they closed the covers of his books whether they would ever be done with his mask and misty visitors.
Once upon a midnight dreary while I pondered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore. While I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping as of someone gently rapping at my chamber door. Only this and nothing more.
In our time, there has risen a genius of interpretation, an artist who in one tremendous characterization served notice that bookends could no longer keep the mighty terrors of man's mind. Tonight we hear Edgar Allan Poe's magnificent study of a deranged mind, The Telltale Heart.
Yes, it's true. I am nervous. I am very nervous. I have been, and I am. But why do you say that I am mad? What you mistake for madness is only the extreme sharpness of my senses, yes. And now they are even sharper than ever before. Now I can hear all things in heaven and in earth. And I can hear many things in hell. How then am I mad? Just observe how calmly I can tell the whole story. Could a madman do that? Only it's impossible to say how the idea first entered my brain, but once conceived, it haunted me. It haunted me day and night. Motive? I had no motive. No, I loved the old man. He had never wronged me. I felt sorry for him. Poor, sick old man. He could not make one move without me. And I had to carry him and feed him and bathe him. I always had to wait on him. Like a dog. You know, I didn't want his gold. No, I think it was his eye. Yes, it was his evil eye. One of them was like that of a vulture, a pale blue with a film over it. And whenever it fell upon me, my blood ran cold. Oh, then I knew I must kill him and get rid of that terrible eye. Forever. But every night, at midnight, I turned the latch of his door and opened it, oh, so gently. And then, when I had made an opening for my head, I put in a dark lantern, all closed, so that no light shone out. And then I thrust in my head. Oh, you would have laughed to have seen how cunningly I thrust it in. I moved it slowly, very slowly, so that I would not wake the old man. Would a madman have been so clever as this? And then I undid the lantern cautiously, oh, so cautiously. I opened it just so much that one single thin ray fell upon his vulture eye. And this I did for 7 long nights. But I found the eye always closed, and so it was impossible to do the work, for it was not the old man who vexed me, but his evil eye. And then came the 8th night.
Who's there?
So, he's awake. At last, he is awake. Now, you may think that I drew back, but no, never. Never before had I felt the extent of my own powers. For one whole hour, I did not move a muscle. I knew he was listening to the death watches in the wall, as I had done night after night. Wasn't a groan of pain. Oh, no. No, that was the cry of terror that comes from the depths of his soul. I know well what he feels. I know exactly what he feels. And so we waited and waited, both of us, in the blackness of the room. He knew that something was wrong. He could feel something in the room, but he tried to reason it away, tried to reassure himself.
No, it's nothing. Nothing but the wind in the chimney. Nothing but a mouse running across the floor.
Wind? Mouse? Oh, but I waited and waited. And then I opened the lantern just a little, oh, so little, until one single dim ray shone out. It fell right upon his vulture eye. It was open, like the thread of a spider, wide open. And I grew furious as I gazed upon it. I saw it with perfect distinctness, that dull blue with the hideous veil over it that chilled the very marrow of my bones.
I couldn't even see his face. I could not see his body. Nothing. Nothing but that terrible eye. And I had directed the ray as if by instinct precisely on that terrible spot. I did not move a muscle. I held the ray direct upon the eye. See, I can hold it there forever. But suddenly I began to feel something, his fear reaching out at me, and then I began to hear something. Oh, I told you what you mistake for madness is but the extreme sharpness of my senses. Yes, I could hear it. The low, dull, quick sound, the sound a watch makes when covered with cotton. I knew that sound, and it beat me into a rage, like a drum beating a soldier into courage. I tried to keep quiet, tried not to move, to keep the ray of the lantern on the evil eye, but his fears grew worse, and his heart beat faster and louder. Faster and louder. 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 They will hear it beyond the walls. The neighbors will hear his heart beat beyond the walls. I must stop it. Stop it. Stop it. He's dead. His terrible eye will trouble me no more. No more forever. Almost dawn, and it is done. See, it was so easy to put him under the three planks in the floor. No eye, not even his vulture eye, could find him now. Mad? Me? Oh, no. No, I was clever. I even pulled the old man's chair over the spot. See? Even the dust is sprinkled back on the floor. Yes, it is done. And now I am free. I am free. Forever.
The dark, shuttered ancient house on the old cobble street. Within faint light of coming dawn cast pale shadows upon the ancient staircase, and the only sound is the creak of its elderly boards under the boots of the house's only living occupant.
Oh, I'm tired. So tired, yes, but now I'm free. I'm alone, and I don't have to get up in the morning. Yes, it's nice to go up these stairs slowly. So slowly because there's nobody waiting. Nobody asking, wanting, waiting. I'll lie on my bed and I'll sleep and I'll sleep and I'll sleep. Oh, but look, I don't need this candle. It's day. And the sun is coming and soon it will be bright and warm. What's that? Someone at the door? Oh, but why must I be afraid now? There's nothing to be afraid of. I'll open the door. I'll open it and let them in. Oh, good morning. Good morning. It's a beautiful morning to be up and on your way. I don't believe I know you, gentlemen. And the lady? Oh, the sun is in my eyes. I cannot see your face. Oh, of course. Of course, the lady who lives next door, my good neighbor. Oh, come in. Oh, come in. Come in. Oh, come this way, good people, and sit down. Sit down, please. I will sit in the old chair. See, it is rickety and uncertain. Oh, good lady, you sit there. And, gentlemen, take the wooden chairs. They are stout oak, and you are so big.
I don't believe, sir, you know who we are.
Oh, I don't. I don't, but I know the lady. She is my neighbor next door.
It is strange you don't recognize us. We are members of the watch. We patrol this street every night.
Oh, of course. Of course, the gentlemen of the watch. Yes, such good men who keep us safe. At night when I can't sleep, I hear your boots on the cobbles and the sound of your truncheons on the pavement and your cries of all's well. Well, stupid of me not to know who you were. You are my friends.
You are alone here, sir?
Oh, yes, yes, but I do not mind it. I'm used to being alone.
Were you awake last night?
Oh, no. Oh, no. I was sleeping. Sleeping like a baby.
You heard nothing?
Oh, no. How could I hear anything?
Sometimes we are awakened by loud cries.
Cries?
Like the cry of a cat.
Oh, no. Cats never bother me. I like cats.
I was awakened last night by a loud cry. It was more of a shriek.
This lady came to to us and told us what she had heard.
It was a shriek, and it came from close by. It seemed to come from here.
From here? But how could it come from here?
Then you heard nothing.
Wait a minute. Maybe it was me.
You, sir?
Oh, yes, that must be it. It was me that screamed. I must have been dreaming. I have terrible dreams. No one else could have screamed. And, well, who else could have screamed? The old man isn't here. Oh, did you think the old man was here? Oh, he went to the country. He's been gone for weeks and weeks. It was me that you heard screaming. Don't you see? It was me. Don't you believe me? Don't you? Oh, but that's so silly. And how could anything have happened to him? How could? Why are you looking at me? You can search the house. Nothing has been disturbed. Everything is the same. And if someone had screamed like that, they must have had some reason. Something was happening to them. Something terrible. Of course. Of course. And if it was me, if I should be guilty of something, I should not be so calm.
I'm afraid we've made a mistake, sir, and we are very sorry to have disturbed you over nothing.
He is pale. Look at his face.
Pale? Am I pale?
You don't look well, sir.
I don't feel as well as I did when you came.
Why does he sit there while we have stood?
Sit here? Why shouldn't I sit here in this old chair? I like this chair. I like to sit in this chair. What are you looking at? There is nothing wrong. Nothing has been disturbed, see? The dust is still on the floor.
Yes. We're quite satisfied, and we shall be going now.
You're satisfied now. You see, if I was guilty of something, I should not be so calm. I should not be here at all. Should I? It is very funny, is it not?
Wait, please wait. There is something about this
man. No, there is nothing. It is my head. I was shaking my head because I've got a kind of headache. It's too bad you had to come today. I'm sorry I can't see you to the door, but there's something in my head. A ringing, and you were staring at me, looking at me, and you can hear it too, you can hear it, and you were laughing at me, shaking your heads in time with it, mocking me, hearing it louder, 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 and you are laughing at my horror, you can hear it beat, 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 oh, it's true, I admit it. Stop, tear up the planks under the chair. It's the beating of his hideous heart.
Say, Franny, you there?
For another hour, then I'm going home to Big Lou.
Well, we've had some Lulus tonight, haven't we, Martha?
Oh, yeah.
First, I had this dame that was more jumpy than a frog on a hot plate. Thought she heard somebody plotting a murder.
What'd you do?
I told her to call the police. What else?
Good girl.
Then we heard this old lady sounding like a witch, talking to spooks on the phone like Dracula and Frankenstein.
You gotta be kidding me.
It gave me goosebumps.
Would I kid you, Franny? Boy, the things you overhear on party lines.
I bet we ladies could write a book with the stuff we've heard on the telephone line.
That's for sure.
Not that I try to listen, but let's face it, you can't help it.
We're always the first to find out these things. Who's having an operation? Who's planning to elope?
Who doesn't like a certain stuck-up lady at the country club?
What a certain society matron paid for her brand new evening gown.
What another certain someone paid for her brand new young, strong, handsome gardener.
Mrs. So-and-so paid for Mrs. So-and-so's new diamond after she found him in the philodendrons with Miss Phyllis Malone. It's expected. We just know things about everybody. Everybody knows we do. Why do you think we wanted to be telephone operators anyway?
It's human nature.
It's not just a job, it's a calling.
It's a woman's natural curiosity.
Now, you know what they say. Curiosity killed the cat.
Killed joy.
That reminds me of a story, something I overheard.
Naturally.
No, just listen. It happened somewhere out in California, near Christmas time, I think. This was the way I heard it. It was a dark and stormy night.
Merry Christmas, Jerry. How's the real estate business?
Kind of early with your greeting, aren't you, Sam?
Well, I gotta get him in sometime. I may not see you again till next Christmas.
This real estate racket gets any crazier, I'll be dead by next Christmas. I'm glad you could get up here, though, Sam.
What's on your mind, Jerry?
Oh, you'll probably shoot me when you hear it, Sam, because I'm probably nuts. But doggone it, you're a detective, and you're my pal, and I just had to tell somebody.
Well, you sound like it's serious.
That's just it. I don't know what it is, Sam, but now, listen. You know, we're agents for a group of houses up in Cypress Canyon?
Mm-hmm.
Those places that were started before the war never got finished?
Oh, yeah.
All they got in were the foundations, just concrete and a couple of beams. Well, They've been finished now. In fact, I'm putting up the for rent sign on the last of them today.
Well, what do you want? Police protection from the mob?
Listen, Sam. This house that I'm talking about, it's got a number now, 2256. But before, when the men went back to work on it about 3 months ago, well, they just started when the foreman on the job brought me a shoebox that he'd found up on a beam. And this box had a manuscript in it, a story kind of, all written out.
Yeah?
Well, he gave me the thing. I read it. I didn't think much about it. I put it in my desk, but the other day as I happened to drive by there, I saw the number on the house and what the house looked like. I thought of this manuscript. I don't like it, that's all. There's something funny about it.
Well, what's funny about it?
Well, mind you, this thing was found in an unfinished house in Cypress Canyon. House was only just started building.
All right.
Well, here, listen, Sam. I want to read it to you if you've got the time, and then you'll see what I mean.
All right, shoot.
Well, here's how it begins. To whom it may concern, my reasons for setting down on paper what follows here will be abundantly clear
to anyone in whose possession it may fall. First, let me say that I'm a very ordinary person. My name is James A. Woods. I'm 35 years old and born in the south of England. By profession, a chemical engineer. My wife, Ellen, was a schoolteacher when I met and married her in Indiana 7 years ago. And there's nothing in the past life of either one of us to suggest remotely any cause or reason for the dreadful thing that has invaded our lives. Our married life has been in no way different from that of millions of other average, reasonably happy and congenial families. 3 months ago, I was ordered by my firm to take charge of a rather minor project in Los Angeles, Hollywood to be exact. The order was a sudden one. There'd been no time to secure accommodations, and conditions being what they are, the inevitable result was that until the day before yesterday, we'd been living in the cramped quarters of one of those characteristic California motels. Needless to say, most of our spare time had been devoted to a search for something more permanent and comfortable, but the fruits of these efforts had been financially, and in every other way, a geometrical progression of discouragement. Until last Saturday afternoon, only 4 days before Christmas, we were driving into town on our way to a movie when Ellen saw it.
Jim, look!
What?
Office.
Oh, yes, yes.
Don't you see what it says? For rent, furnished, two-bedroom house, close-in, immediate occupancy.
Yes,
Aren't you going to stop?
Oh, Ellen, you know what a sign like that would mean right out in plain sight in front of a real estate office?
Oh, yeah, but Jim...
Yeah, they probably want $600 a month.
We'll never know until we ask.
Well, if it's any good, there's probably 50 people fighting for it back there right now.
Well, honey, there's no harm in trying. Now, is there...
You really want to go back?
Oh, it's probably foolish, but what can we lose?
Okay.
Oh, darling, come on. Cheer up. How do you know? Maybe our luck's changed. Maybe fate. It's going to give us a nice new house for a Christmas present.
Come in.
We're sorry to bother you, but we just happened to see that for rent sign outside.
Oh, and yeah, I hung it outside just this minute.
Is the house available?
Why, sure it is.
Well, in that case, let me introduce myself. My name is James A. Woods, and this is my wife, Ellen.
How do you do? Wow. Looks like it's fixing to rain.
Yes, so it does, doesn't it? Well, it was one of those things. The real estate agent had just been authorized to rent the place by mail that morning, and he'd hardly had time to look at it himself and put his sign up when we drove up. It was just an ordinary little California house about halfway up Cypress Canyon. Number 2256. Just an ordinary, undistinguished little house. The agent didn't know much about it, and construction on it had been stopped by the war and had just been completed and furnished lately. Been vacant while somebody's estate was being settled, and now it was owned by a bank in Sacramento. Of course, we didn't care about that.
Got this key in the mail along with the authorization to rent. Only one there is. Of course, you can have duplicates made. Seems to stick a little. Ah, well, there it is.
Doesn't sound as though that door had ever been opened.
Well, a little oil on the hinges will fix that all right.
Oh, sure.
Well, now, here's your living room. Furniture's a little dusty, of course. You gotta expect that. It's good furniture, though, you see. Benson Brothers.
Yes, uh-huh.
Now, over here's a little den. Paneled, you see. Radio, fireplace. Really a very attractive little room, particularly for a man.
Yes,
Now, the bedroom's off the living room here. Everything's all on one floor, you understand.
Uh-huh.
It's quite nice, I think.
Yes, uh-huh.
You can see you get the morning sun here. There's a view of the canyon through these front windows. You got cross ventilation.
Well, that's about all there was to it. It wasn't the best place in the world. It was small and badly built. But what would you have done? We took it with as little inspection as that. It was the Saturday before Christmas, and the very same evening we were struggling up the steps from the road with suitcases and boxes. Ellen began unpacking and I began moving things around and taking the worst of the pictures off the wall, doing all the little things that everybody does when they move into a new place and try to give it something of their own personality.
Don't be such a sourpuss. You know, it's a roof over our heads for Christmas. That's more than we'd ever thought we'd get, isn't it? Now, what in the world are we going to do with those two pictures?
Well, why don't we just leave them where they are?
Jim, we can't. They're too awful.
All right. Well, we'll put them in the closet then.
I can't. Both closets are jammed
full. No, I mean the other one in the little alcove off
the den. Well, at least there's a door there. I suppose it's a closet. I don't know.
If that isn't a commentary on the housing problem, huh? Hmm. A woman moving into a house without even knowing where all the closets are. Take the pictures down, will you, honey, and bring them over here.
All right, okay.
Guess you'll have to help me with this door. I couldn't get it open.
Well, let me see it. Well, of course you can't, silly. It's locked. Where are those keys we found in the desk?
Here they are.
All right, let me get that. No, this one. Sure, this doesn't work. Try this one. You know, it feels like an awfully solid door for a closet.
Oh, well, that's one solid door in the house.
Let me try this last one. No, I won't do it either. Well, we'll just have to get a locksmith up here on Monday. I'll put the pictures behind the desk, all right?
Yeah, all right. Jim, if you could just help me move this armchair, huh?
Oh, Ellen, will you let it go until tomorrow? You know what time it is.
Oh, but honey, I'd like to get the place looking just a little bit.
You know, it's almost midnight. In fact, it's exact...
What was that?
It's a tomcat, I guess, out in the bushes somewhere.
Sounded near. I hope that doesn't go on all night.
Well, there isn't much we can do about it. Come on, Ellen, I'm dead tired.
All right, Jim.
Where'd you put the toothpaste, honey?
It's right in the medicine cabinet.
Oh, I've got it.
Jim, we ought to get some firewood tomorrow. You know, a fire in that living room would make all the difference in the world.
Well, we can't. It's Sunday.
Well, Monday then. Jim, I think red curtains are what we need, don't you? Just for the living room, at least. Anyway, the ones in there now have just got to come down.
I suppose they do.
What do you think of red?
Well, I guess it's all right, really. I mean,
Jim.
Some tomcat.
Jim, it sounded in the house.
How could it be in the house, Ellen? We've been over every inch of this place.
Except that closet.
Well, how could a cat or anything else be in a closet that's been locked up for over a year?
I don't know.
They're probably under the house or something. You know, a wildcat, mountain lion or something like that. I hear they have them in California.
Jim, I don't like it.
Well, neither do I like it, but there's nothing we can do about it tonight.
Oh, maybe we ought to call somebody, the police or some neighbor.
Oh, don't be silly, Ellen. You look like a kid. Come on, let's go to bed.
Oh, all right. I suppose it is silly. Jimmy, did you lock the door?
Yes, I did, yes. Can I turn out the lights now?
Yeah, all right.
Oh, good night, Ellen. Sleep tight, dear.
Good night, Jim.
I don't know what time it was. Perhaps an hour. Perhaps only half an hour later. When my mind was in that hazy borderland between sleep and a dream that's still part of consciousness. And then I was awake. Ellen, are you all right?
Yes.
Did you have a nightmare or something?
No, I heard it too.
Well, that didn't sound like any cats.
Put on the light.
Yes.
It seemed to be out there, Jim, in the house somewhere.
Well, I'm going to look into this.
Jim, you be careful.
Come on. I tell you what, where's my shotgun?
In the den, I think.
I'm going to go and get it.
Jim!
What?
There's something wet on the floor.
What do you mean, wet? What?
Running from under the closet door. It's sticky.
No, Ellen, don't touch it.
I had to, Jim. It's blood.
It cannot be too difficult to understand from the foregoing why I've taken down the panes writing the events related here. To find in one's newly rented house a closet which cannot be opened is in itself certainly no great cause for alarm. But to be awakened in the stillness of the night by unearthly cries within that house, to find oozing from underneath that closet door something that is unquestionably blood, well, that's another matter. Perhaps others might have been braver than we. Suffice it to say that we got out of that house in something very close to a panic and only returned when we had the moral support of two stalwart Los Angeles policemen.
You just moved in here, you say?
That's right, officer. You can see that we're still unpacking.
And the place has been empty right along before
that. I don't know much about that part of it. You check that with the real estate agent, though.
Well, where is this closet?
Oh, it's right over here, officer. And the blood is...
Where? Where's the blood?
Jim!
Officer, I swear to you, there was blood on the floor less than an hour ago. I saw it.
Uh-huh.
Well, it was running out from under that door. We heard the noise, and we got up, and then we saw it. And the door was locked.
Locked, huh?
Oh, no, I remember. It was right over...
Well, it seems to be all right now.
Hey, you folks aren't trying to be funny, are you?
Isn't there anything in it?
No, ma'am, there is not.
Look, officer, we're reputable people. You can call my firm. They'll tell you all about me.
There's nothing wrong with this closet. Walls are solid, no trap doors.
Look, if you think I'm lying, well, you can just...
I didn't say that, mister. You probably did hear some sort of noise, and you got a little panicky, and,
Well, what about the blood? It got on my hands.
It isn't there now, is
yes.
it?
Yes.
Where?
I feel it.
Now, you folks just take it easy. You know you're liable to hear all kinds of noises up in these canyons at night. You're from the east, you say.
Yes, I'm sorry, officer.
Oh, that's all right, that's all right. If you have any real trouble, call on us anytime.
All right, thank you.
Well, good night.
Yeah, good night.
Good night.
Hey, you ought to get this door fixed. That's enough to scare you.
Yes, we are. We'll have it fixed.
We didn't say much about it after that.
There wasn't much that could be said. The next day I went down to a lot and bought a little Christmas tree and some trimmings, and we tried to pretend we were cheerful, but there was an uneasiness between us that had never been there before. Ellen seemed tired and listless, and several times during the day I noticed her washing her hands with a brush, scrubbing the one that touched the blood. That night we each took a sleeping pill and went to bed. It was sometime after midnight when I was suddenly wide awake, staring into the darkness. In some way, I knew at once and instinctively what had awakened me. Ellen was not in her bed, nor in the room. The nameless thing I had feared gripped at my heart until I could scarcely breathe. I opened the bedroom door and started through the house, putting on every light that I could find. There was not much to search, but I searched thoroughly. The living room, kitchen, bathroom, den, even the garage. All the time, the dread of looking where I knew at last I must look, for I think I knew from the very first time where I'd find her. It must have been a full minute that I stood before that closet door. Then I opened it. She stood there, rigid, her arms at her sides, her fingers extended like claws. Her hair was over her face, and her eyes stared out of it, her lips drawn back in a grin like an animal at bay. For a moment, I was frozen with the horror of it. I stretched out my hand, very deliberately. She turned her head and sunk her teeth until they met into the flesh of my forearm. I raised up my hand to strike at her, but already relaxed her hold and gone utterly limp. She would have fallen unless I'd caught her. I carried her into the bedroom and laid her on the bed. Strangely, at that moment, my only thought was how I might revive her, until I saw that it was not a faint, but a sleep that she had fallen into, a sleep as deep and heavy as though she'd been drugged. And so I left her. But for me that night, there was no sleep.
Jim!
Yes, Ellen?
Ooh, what are you doing up so early?
Oh, I got a little restless. I went out to make some coffee.
Oh, I had the most wonderful sleep, and I feel so rested.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. Jim!
What?
What's the matter with your arm?
Oh, no, I just hurt it. Nothing.
Well, honey, yeah. It's terribly swollen. Let me see it.
No, it's all right, Ellen. Just
oh, it isn't all right. You've got to see Dr. Westleaf right away.
All right, I will.
No,
I will.
Now you promised me, Jim, that you'll go first thing this morning. How'd it happen?
Well, there was a dog.
A dog?
Yes, I heard him trying to chew through the screen door, and I went out to chase him away, and he bit me.
Well, you mean with all that racket, and I didn't even wake up?
No, Ellen, you didn't even wake up.
It was clear to me that Ellen knew nothing of what had transpired the night before. I went to my office that morning and made a pretense of going over routine business, if only to restore my mind to some semblance of calm by the sight and sound of common familiar things. The pain in my arm had become a persistent, dull throbbing, and I made a late appointment with Dr. Westleaf. He treated my arm with something of an arched eyebrow, and he said,
"Well, I've never seen anything quite like it before. That is such a rapid onset of infection."
It was dark when I left his office. I hadn't realized it was so late. Driving home, my car seemed sluggish until I saw the needle on the dashboard and realized that I was pushing it to its utmost of its speed. I was racing home to prevent something before it was too late, before the darkness conspired against me, for somehow I already knew with certainty that it was the darkness and the night I had to fear. The curves in the canyon seemed endless, and then the cold fear reached up inside me. My house, too, was dark. I went slowly up the steps from the road, looking, praying for some sign of light or life. There was none. The house was empty. Ellen was gone. I looked with the same self-torturing thoroughness, and in that closet, first of all, knowing as I did so that it was hopeless. And so, alone in that empty house, I waited, powerless, helpless now, deadened in thought and will, empty as the house itself, save only for the overwhelming sense of a terrible foreboding. Sometime in the early hours of the morning, I snapped on the radio. Quite why, I don't know. Surely a minor question now. I only know that I did. And then I heard it.
Car 58, go to Laurel Canyon, the 4000 block. Report that a man has been injured or attacked. Condition thought to be critical. Ambulance will follow, that's all.
I was there almost before the police, edging my way through the little crowd and staring down at the man lying there in his white uniform underneath the streetlight.
Yeah, the milkman, poor guy.
I heard him scream, but when I got here, he was just like
all
this.
All right, stand back. Stand back, please.
Well, you again.
Well, I heard it on the radio, and I only live just down the road, so I came to...
Yeah, I remember.
Well, what's happened here?
Well, take a look. Maybe you can tell us.
He was dead, and he was lying on his back. Throat had been torn out as though by the fangs of some wild animal. It is now Christmas morning, for it's a little after midnight, and I've been waiting here in the stillness of this empty house for nearly 24 hours, waiting for the end. Already once tonight I've heard that dreadful wailing cry somewhere in the hills. I've nailed up the closet door, but that, I know, that was childish, useless. My arm is horribly swollen and turning black, but well, that's nothing. It is an other end that I foresee, as surely as other men foresee the rising of the sun. I hear the cry again, and it is nearer now. I shall leave these notes in a sealed envelope and put it in a shoebox in the hope that someone will give credence to these dark and terrible events, if indeed such nameless horrors can ever yield to mortal understanding. As for myself, I feel no longer any fear or sorrow, only a desire that the end and the thing I must do may come soon, and it will be soon. Yes, there is someone at that door.
Someone at the door. What do you make of it, Sam?
It's quite a yarn. Well, what of it?
That's what I thought. Now, listen, that's not quite all of it.
Oh?
Attached to it was a newspaper clipping. Listen. Hollywood, December the 26th. Police reported what was apparently a case of murder and suicide in Cypress Canyon, sometime in the early hours of the morning. The victims were James A. Woods, a chemical engineer, and his wife, Ellen. Preliminary investigation indicates that Mrs. Woods was killed by the blast of a shotgun in the hands of her husband, who then turned the weapon upon himself. That she fought desperately for her life, however, was evident by the disorder of the room and the severe lacerations inflicted upon her husband about the neck and arms. This is the second tragedy to be reported in Cypress Canyon within 24 hours, the other being the unexplained death of Frank Pulaski, a milkman.
Well, no such murders or whatever they were ever occurred, if that's what's worrying you. The clipping, well, you can have those things printed up, you know.
Oh, no, that's not it, Sam. That story was found in an unfinished house in Cypress Canyon. No number, no nothing, just a framework.
Uh-huh.
Now that house is finished. When I drove by it today, but that's what stopped me, Sam, because it all fits. Now that it's finished, it is the house in the story. The same construction, the same vines and creepers on the lawn, even the same number.
So what? A guy who knows roughly what this house is going to be like writes a yarn and loses it or something.
Did he know the place was going to be listed for rental today, the Saturday before Christmas?
Jerry, coincidence. Two bits you find the guy next door is a ghost story writer or something, and he's been wondering for a year what happened to that thing he wrote.
Okay. Coincidence. I'm sorry I bothered you, Sam.
Nah, don't be silly. I liked it. It's a good yarn. Is that the Ferenc sign you were talking about?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to put it outside now.
Uh-huh. Well, so long, Jerry, and Merry Christmas again.
Yeah, well, thanks, Sam. I guess I was kind of silly, all right.
Listen, when a guy named, whatever it is, Woods, with a wife named Ellen, comes in to rent that place from you, then you can start worrying.
Yeah, well, so long, Sam.
So long, Jerry.
Come in.
We're sorry to bother you, but we just happened to see that for rent sign outside.
Yeah, I hung it out just this minute.
Is the house available?
Why, sure it is.
Well, let me introduce myself. My name is James A. Woods, and this is my wife.
Tales with a Twist has been a production of the On the Air Radio Player, sponsored by the County of Henrico Division of Recreation and Parks. Your voice talents for tonight's show were Deborah Dudek-May, Misty Dunleavy, Laurie Fulmer, Amy Horstetler, Jim Meisner, David Rappaport, Granville Scott, Mike Sullivan, Jennifer Thomas, and Gary Wade. Your sound effects wizards were Bob Dutton, Mark Fulmer, and Paul Kiber. Music by Brett Swerdling. The story frame was written by Margie Langston. Your sound recording engineer was Devin Langston. The production manager was Shane Harris, and your director was Andy Resnick. You can hear this broadcast soon on local station WZEZ-FM 100.5 on your radio dial. Check for broadcast time and date, and look for another production of the On the Air Radio Players April 3rd and 4th as they bring to life more authentic shows from the golden age of radio right here at the Glen Allen Cultural Arts Center. From all of us to all of you, have a safe and happy Halloween, and be careful what you say on the phone. You never know who's listening.